Well, I've done. Now you know. Now you know. It's live. It's Sunday night. And the first half hour I dedicate to Carell and my congregation. They're typical Californians. They can't get their feet wet. I mean, I don't know what a Californian, a Los Angeles Californian, would do in Upper Michigan. I have no idea what they'd do in northern Massachusetts in the middle of the winter. They'd lay in the street and say, in hell, just as I expected, when they take their first fall on ice. Little bit of rain. A third of the voices of faith are eliminated on Sunday night. Flu season's here. They'll wait longer in line to get a flu shot than they will to get in the church. That tells you all you need to know, isn't it? But I have enough voices of faith here tonight to take the calls, and we need about at least another 300 reservations for the cathedral. And the first half hour I spend of this live time, which is pretty expensive, to take your calls as you make your reservation for the cathedral. You're welcome to come if you want to be taught, you understand, and I really think I don't want anybody coming to the cathedral that's not listened to a Sunday service on television and knows exactly what goes on there. We're on every night at 10 o'clock. Nothing but teaching. Open with a song, teach, and close with a song. But I have less and less interest in people shopping for churches and trying to find the church they like. Not near as important what you think of God as it is what God thinks of you. Not near as important that you find a church that you like as it is that you find a church that teaches you, that opens up God's Word. Well, I want to find a church that tells me what my purpose is. Well, let me tell you, our church will tell you, it's to die. Die to yourself and recognize that you belong to the Lord and that His Word is the light to your path. And there are lots of things you will learn in this life, but nothing's as important as learning the truth about God's Word. I mean, I preached a triple X-rated message today. Not intentionally. But, you know, I heard some things come out of my mouth, but after it came out, But somebody needs to give you the truth of what 3rd and 4th and 5th century church fathers did. Now, unlike Luther, I believe that the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, at best a stepbrother of Jesus, more likely a cousin, I believe he wrote it. It's consistent with his performance at the church council in Acts 15. Luther doesn't believe he even wrote it. But anybody that thinks they can reconcile James and Paul is too stupid for you to listen to another day of your Christian life. Let me repeat that. Anybody that lacks the courage to face up to the fact that James was attacking Paul and that he craftily misconstrued Scripture and is perhaps the most boastful writer of the New Testament. He totally flies in the face of Romans 3:27. Where is the boasting? James says, me. Show me your faith, I'll show you my works. I want to say just one sentence. We'll play the message, and we'll play the whole service sometime during this 4 hours. You just have to stay tuned. We'll play the whole service from curtain rise to the end. The New Testament does not talk about our doing the works of righteousness. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Nobody ever produced fruit by shaking the tree. Fruit is a natural outgrowth of what's in the tree. And you don't say, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. Faith is like plugging a cord into a socket. When you study elementary chemistry in high school, you understand the concept of a catalyst. You understand you mix certain ingredients and you get something else. Different. The sum of the whole, or the sum of the parts, is different and not the same as just the parts laid down side by side. Faith and faith's law binds God to a covenant that when faith is turned loose on Him and His Word, He puts something in you. And the fruit is inevitable. You don't brag about it because you ain't doing it. It's being done in and through you. And you remain the house of God the same way you became the house of God. And this heresy that is peddled as tradition, traditions make void the Word of God. Today's orthodoxy is tomorrow's heresy. Depends on who's in charge and whether you want to be accepted by the whole. The majority has been wrong throughout Christian history, including the Bible. James and Paul cannot be reconciled. Do deeds of righteousness result from faith's law? Yes, that's why the last verse of Romans 3 will say, does faith abrogate the law? No. It fulfills it. Paradoxically, when you're faithing, God's life's in you, and when God's life's in you, it's like a piece of grass that can split a sidewalk of concrete. And you become the house of God because the Word brings forth faith. God takes up residence in you by His Spirit. Then these fools come along and tell you, yes, you've got to walk. Yeah, you're saved by faith, but you've got to walk worthy. Why do you think most of the pastors don't want you to listen to me while they steal my messages and warp them with their traditionalism? Because I set you free from the bondage they put you under. From the deacon boards of self-righteous hypocrites who sin in secret. If you want somebody to judge someone who has had a sexual failure, done some immoral act, find a deacon that's sleeping with some other woman in the church, because it takes a thief to judge a thief. I'm a preacher's son. I grew up in it. Nobody dares to my face challenge my teaching. I know the history of the book. We have the greatest collection of manuscripts ever put together in private hands. Every pastor knows I'm telling you the truth, as they warp the truth and try to say James was talking about Christian deeds that result from the Holy Spirit. Go back to the council in Acts 15. He wanted the Torah, the reading of Moses' instructions. If he had his way, he'd put it on everybody. Christ is the Messiah, you still make it in by works of the Torah. How's faith fulfill the Torah? Because only God can do it, and His Spirit in you maintained changes your nature. I've preached for years, come to my church, you don't have to change. But if you listen to the Word will bring forth faith, and then watch out. Faith puts God's Spirit in you, and you will suddenly be changing, and others will see it more than you. Fruit is the outgrowth of a new nature. And there's a warfare going on. And if the devil can't keep you from the failing that gets God in you, he'll make you substitute for faith something else that gets you approval from other Christians and quench the Spirit. The only way you maintain yourself as the house of God, faith. If you're not seeing fruit in your life, you don't try to produce fruit by beating on yourself as the tree. You go find some opportunity for more faith. I got one now. I tell people when they're sick, you're lucky and you don't even have to look for an opportunity to fade in the morning. You wake up with it. I've been setting people free in Los Angeles for 29 years. While liars and con artists for Jesus have been lassoing you back. Oh, I remember Bon Bowman telling me at Brightmore Tabernacle in Detroit, "Gene, the message you're preaching is the right one. I know it, grace and faith. But my congregation takes advantage of it, and they abuse the freedom, so I have to get the law out and beat on them once in a while. I determined when I came here I would dare to believe God, and His Word would produce people of faith, and He would do the righteousifying." Yeah. You better see some fruit. But you, look at your own life. Don't need any fruit inspectors looking at other people. If you see lack of fruit, you've probably relaxed your faith grip. So you find a way to tighten your faith grip. Because only if the Spirit is in you, and He can be grieved away quickly, only faith, you can pull the plug out, the cord out of the socket. Hebrews declares, you remain the house of God by remaining as you were when He came into you. Doing what brought Him in is what keeps Him in. You keep faithing. No, I faded him in, and now I gotta work my spiritual ass off to keep him in. No, you don't. You keep faithing. You keep your commitments of faith. Just that simple. Now you need to listen to the message today, but nobody else will tell you. Not since Luther has anybody put James in his place. James's followers tried to obliterate Paul. I could follow for a full century and a half those who cursed Paul as of the devil, worse than Simon the sorcerer. Paul saved the gospel that Jesus died to bring. God had to knock him down on the Damascus Road because all the disciples, so steeped in their Torah tradition, could not accept the liberty he brought them. And about once every 400 years, God sends somebody along to blow the clarion call of Paul's message. Augustine, Luther. I hope there's others will join me and have the guts to say, well, let me say it humorously. If I allowed James to occupy the John of the house of God, even he said, well, I and Peter will minister to the Jews, and they still have to keep the Torah. And you read the opening words of his epistle, he's writing to Israelites. And James decreed at the first council that Paul is to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And I'm a Gentile. So by James's own decree, I'm to listen to Paul instead of him. And nobody will tell you that except me. So you need to listen to the service. Now, I've used up 17 minutes of the half hour, so I have to spill into the next half hour. Well, you better make your reservations for next Sunday at the cathedral. My enemies will tell you don't go because he's dead and gone. I'm very much alive. James is dead and gone. No, get on the telephone. Now, as I said, we're going to play in about 12 minutes. We're going to take you into the cathedral for the complete service that happened this morning. You're going to hear things that you should have heard a long time ago. See, I grew up in the church. I remember my granddad was so strict. He felt his business was to expose every hypocrite. And he was so proud of the fact that he would honestly say there's no way he could live the Christian life. So he wouldn't be a hypocrite. He knew he couldn't, so he wouldn't even try. Because if he were going to be a Christian, he would do what Christians have to do, which is nothing. If you breathe, it's a sin. And he had his long list. And the preachers would come through, and they loved to preach on sin. Most of them knew about as much about it as flying a spaceship. But they were the hellfire and brimstone preachers. And I remember as a poor kid going to school. I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8. And the class had a field trip to go to the only theater in downtown Orville, the State Theater. I still look at it when I drive through that old section of Orville. And the field trip for this elementary class went to see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at the State Theater. And I sat in there terrified as a kid that the Lord might come and I would be left behind because I'm watching a movie. You couldn't dance. You couldn't go to theaters. You couldn't read anything but the Bible, King James. Everything was a sin. Made varsity basketball as a freshman in high school. Had to get off the team because the Christians thought it was a sin for me to wear the shorts. I mean, if my freshman legs were going to inspire lust all over the Butte County. Everything was a sin. Oh, you could say heck, but you couldn't say hell. You could say by gum, but you couldn't say by God. You might be able to get away with darn it, but not damn it. But not even those slang words in the presence of my granddad or my mother, who was raised by him in those days. She even said the word hell, she'd spell it. H-E-double-L. She wouldn't say hell. You ask the average person on the street, what is a Christian? 99 out of 100 will tell you, well, they do this and do that, and don't do this and don't do that, and don't do this other thing and don't do more. And the don'ts outnumber by far the do's. Nobody with any sense wants to be a Christian except on their deathbed. You got to stop living. And why do you think the Catholic Church argues so forcefully to keep James in there? They'd go out of business if they didn't have these works to enforce. Same with the Orthodox. As I said, every 400 years, somebody comes along and rescues Paul from self-righteous, pharisaical, enculturated, do this and don't do that Christianity. I don't care what I might say. You go to the average church, you got to dress a certain way, you got to do that which they approve and not do that which they disapprove. You dare not let them know you watch Gene Scott because he smokes a cigar. By the way, I haven't seen you smoke a cigar in a while. No. Just all of a sudden, I didn't want to for a while. I figure I've made the point. But I'm not smoking cigars because I think they're a sin. Oh, I believe in the health risks. Not near as much as breathing the air in Los Angeles. Not near as much as driving on a freeway. I mean, I can get behind a city bus or a city garbage truck. It ain't putting more foul stuff in my lungs than smoking a box of cigars. I understand the health risks. But half those preachers that are preaching against the cigar, which is not addictive, by the way. Cigarettes are, but not cigars. You don't inhale them. Half the preachers preaching against them are addicted to white sugar and guilty of the sin of gluttony. I mean, you know, measure their waist. And by Jesus' standard, committing adultery all the time, every time a shapely member of the congregation walks in, particularly if they come on a platform, saying they're going to, I mean, look at, and you know, when I was growing up, it was a sin for a woman to wear makeup. It was a sin for her to cut her hair. It was a sin for a man to have long hair. Jesus was a sinner. Because by the law, he was a Nazarite. And they couldn't cut their hair. Don't talk to me about, well, nobody knows what he looks like. At least you know he had long hair because that was required of a Nazarite. I just hate stupidity. Faith is the only door. We have no report that Peter stood up at the council in Acts 15 and talked about how that Cornelius and his household, when they were saved, all got circumcised and all began keeping the Torah. Faith. You need to hear the message in today's service. And yet, I set people free. The Word of God produces what God's Word says it will. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then you go to these churches that want to circumcise your brain, circumcise your life, qualify what God has done through Christ by making you conform to external behavior that gets their approval. And you're getting approval from a band of jerks most of the time that have about as much culture and intelligence as a rat pack. You don't stop living to be a Christian. You begin living. You don't please men. You trust God, and He changes you. You don't let somebody else judge you. Paul says he wasn't even capable of judging himself. Christ died for you. You face the issues of life with the knowledge of what I preach today and every Sunday. That God's with us. And pleasing Him is what counts. Paul said, if I seek to please men, I shouldn't even be a servant of Christ. Henceforth, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks, the stigmata, the brand placed in the body of a bond slave, identifying him as belonging to a particular master. Christianity should set you free. I grew up in those traditions and lost my faith because of the hypocrisy that when I got old enough I began to recognize in the evangelists that got the call to come to Oroville in the fall. They never got it in the heat of the summer. They got it when pheasant and duck season opened, because that was the pheasant and duck hunting bowl. So this fat evangelist come in at 7 o'clock and hastily get his hip boots off and his mud begrimed hunting clothes and barely make it to the service for 7:30 so he could beat on the saints for not praying all day to have a revival. The only thing good about him is he dressed in such a hurry one night, we teenagers happened to notice he's sitting up there with his big barrel belly and he hadn't zipped his pants up. The naked truth. He got his just desserts. Remember that when you're listening to the message that's going to play in about a minute. Now, we're going to go to a song, and when this song ends, we're going to the curtain rise of the service this morning. You can take your seats, folks. They'll still be answering the phones here as you continue to make reservations. But I want you to listen to the service, and particularly the message, as it plays as the next song comes to a close.